Welcome to The Whole Person Mindset. I am your host, Evan Herman. If you're new to this channel, we talk about how to grow your mindset with a biblical perspective in the areas of life that matter most. And in today's episode, I get to talk to Dr. Mark Sherwood, who is a naturopathic doctor, and they study on different ways to help the human body to recover naturally and spiritually. And in this episode, we talked about anxiety, we talked about health, we talked about food consumption, we talked about many different topics that relate to everyday life. And so if you struggle with any of those areas, you're not going to want to miss this episode. And if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to download and subscribe our podcast, or if you're watching it on YouTube, click the subscribe button and the bell notification so we can beat the algorithms. And oh, by the way, if you haven't yet, if you would leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would really help the algorithm and promote this as well. Thank you so much. Enjoy the show. Today on the Whole Person Podcast, we are interviewing Dr. Mark Sherwood. Mark was given up for adoption at birth. As a kid, he is often made fun of for being the chubby, shy kid. And I can kind of relate to that. I don't know if you can. Instead of letting these things define his life, he used them to fuel and achieve great things. Mark became a bodybuilding champion and played professional baseball. He logged over 24 years in the Tulsa Police Department, including a decade over on the SWAT team, and he retired as a sergeant. Now, Mark is the author, motivational speaker, and carrying his message of wellness around the globe. Mark and his wife both are naturopathic doctors that are trailblazers and pioneers in functional healing, utilizing cutting-edge treatment protocols that have led hundreds of amazing healing testimonies. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sherwood. How are you?
Evan, I'm doing great. It's a pleasure and honor to be with you, man. I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate what you do. So thanks for having me.
My pleasure. A fun fact, I don't know if I told you this or not, but you created or producing a movie, and I don't think you knew this when we first met, but I was actually cast in that movie to be a bartender.
Oh, no way. The Prayer List movie or the WWJR, the one we just produced?
The one that you just produced with A Modern Day Jesus.
Yes, that's WWJR. We just finished filming it recently, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, the main actor, Zoltan, he actually came on my podcast because we met him when we were filming that day. And so, fun world. So,
what a great guy he is. He did an amazing job. Very, very good job. Very talented guy. So we had lots of interaction together, and he's a top performer. So I appreciate him very much. I think the world will be very excited to see this movie.
Yeah, he's good. And I'm excited to see it too. Next time, maybe I can get a bigger role.
Yeah, come on, man. You got to do it next time. I can't wait to see you on there. That was one of the days that it wasn't one of my scenes, so I didn't get to, but I know the scene well because I know the script very well as a producer.
Right. It was fun. Like I remember afterwards, like, so do you work here at the bar? A couple of them asked. I was like, no, I was just doing stuff behind, making sure I looked like I was the bartender. Like, that was really believable. And I was like, well, good. That's what I was going for.
Yeah, you were the guy that was behind the bar doing the milkshake mixing and all that stuff, right?
Passing out the milkshake and everything.
There you go.
It was great. Well, I want to jump into this because you have a really awesome business where you and your wife help people overcome sickness and illness through natural remedies, natural ways. And that is something that changed my life over the past few years. Getting off caffeine and, going away from harsh, what do you call it? Like antibiotics and stuff like that. And then I switched to natural vitamins and things to get my gut health in order and stuff like that. And I'm still a far way away from, you know, having the body and the weight and the shape that I want.
Yeah.
But I'm also far better than I was several years ago. You know, I had a chronic prostatitis, which for those of you that don't know, is just a prostate inflammation. And I, like, starting at 25, and it was so bad. And I had it for about 3 years and I didn't know what it was until I found out what it was. And then what triggered it was the food that I consumed.
Yeah.
But the thing is the doctors didn't tell me that. The doctors didn't tell me it was the food. So they put me on antibiotics and all this stuff, and it just made me worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I went to an Indian medicine woman. She was a Christian Indian medicine woman who, you know, basically gave me specific vitamins to take, and it changed my life. Had I known about you guys, I would have come to you.
Well, it's funny, you know, in those situations, Evan, you know, anytime you see the word or hear the word, this is for the listeners, that word itis, that is a suffix at the end of words. If you hear it like of a gland or an organ and then itis, they're really defining chronic systemic inflammation. And so what drives chronic systemic inflammation? The inflammatory standard American diet lifestyle, because that's what is the driver of most of our disease processes in America. In other words, hard to hear, but a hard truth. We create most of our disease process that is not dealt with the healing in mind, but rather the management in mind through medications that make things worse. So sickness, unfortunately, is a business, and it's a business that's designed to be profitable.
It really is. So what does a whole person approach to health and wellness look like, both practically and biblically?
So from a practical standpoint, if I might, I'll just explain by analogy, because that's kind of how I was, you know, learned, you know, this stuff. But let's pretend that we as people live on the edge of a river. And when the water comes up and starts to get out of the banks and get near the door of our house, medicine comes along and throws you a sandbag. If the water gets higher, medicine comes along again and throws you another sandbag, and the beat goes on. It doesn't ever address, and we're not saying the sandbag is bad, but it doesn't ever address what caused the water to come up in the first place. What caused the flood? Well, we understand medicine because my wife, as well as being a naturopathic doctor, Dr. Michelle is also conventionally trained as an osteopathic doctor. So we have both. But if you go back to our analogy and go back upstream, and you're going to see this big concrete barrier that's called the dam. And that dam is analogous, Evan, with our genes. Our genes are interacting with what's behind them in the reservoir. And the reservoir is analogous with the environment. So the environment interacts with our genes. Our genes make a decision on how much water they're going to let out. And so that's genetic expression. So this environmental genetic interaction is what we deal with. And when you go back upstream and you fix what's coming in and you know the way the dam works, you can create a predictable, non-flooding environment downstream, which basically means disease prevention and disease resilience. So that's from a physical standpoint, what this looks like. So that's why we would say it is upstream healing at its best. So we're going to go upstream as far as we can go to determine the root cause of those symptoms downstream. Make sense?
It does. And so on the biblical perspective, mm-hmm. what are some things spiritually or biblically that people just overlook?
This is key. When you understand what Satan's main attack point is, you have an advantage. And I'm going to share with you and share with the listeners right now what that is. How would you like to know what Satan's main strategy is to destroy mankind?
Absolutely.
Pretty cool. So you go back to the Garden of Eden, and here is Adam and Eve in the garden. And God puts them there. And obviously, before he put them there, he created man and breathed life into man, and then created Eve from Adam's rib, et cetera. And we know that when he breathed life into man, he also had to breathe appetite. So otherwise, they would have looked in the garden and said, oh, gee, what pretty flowers we have. So God created man he created appetite as well. So the appetite was something that God made for them to go in the garden and eat the food from the trees to keep them alive. Well, we know the fall of man, they had a conversation with the serpent there, and the serpent got them to eat from something that wasn't supposed to. The principle there that I want you to catch is Satan had one shot to mess that thing up. Just one. If he fails, you and I and all of our listeners are not having this conversation now. So he had to take his best. It makes sense that if you know you're going to lose, you're going to try your best strategy in order to salvage some time, right? So that makes sense. This is his best strategy. So he couldn't create another God. He's a created being from God. So the relationship with God was not challenged. He couldn't create another person because he's a created being, not a creator. So the relationship with mankind wasn't challenged. But he could attack the relationship. You know, I just made a cross. He could attack the relationship with the ground. In other words, the relationship we have with the ground, because we're created from dirt. And so when he could create distortion, confusion, and destroy the dirt, the relationship we have with the ground, he can get us off course. And that's what happened. Adam and Eve took a bite of that apple from the forbidden tree, and then they begin to realize, hey, I'm naked, what's going on? And then they begin to understand sin and death. And that's how death came into the world, by disobedience. Well, we know that that strategy of destroying the ground or this appetite thing is true, because we go forward in the New Testament, we see Jesus led off in the desert after baptism by John the Baptist to be tempted for 40 days. Well, you know, that's a long time to go without food. I've never fasted 40 days, but the very first temptation that Jesus faced from the devil was the same strategy. It worked. Why wouldn't it work this time? So he challenged Jesus, turn this stone into bread, back to the appetite thing. So if he can get us leading with our appetite and leading with this thing to bring confusion, to destroy us with the attack on health, he can win. And frankly, he's done a pretty good job. I've got to give credit where credit's due. People today, whether faith-believing people or not, they understand that the hardest addiction to break is with food. Why is that so challenging? Because this is the core of what our enemy tries to do from a spiritual standpoint. And if our listeners, Evan, get this truth right now, it will bring a revelation that will change the world, because you and I do not have the willpower to do this on our own. Therefore, we have to depend on our God who loves us and gives us empowerment to trust him that it's his will that we be healthy and use his power to avoid these temptations. So that in a nutshell is what's happening in our world. And we're seeing our health being attacked. And the more we don't feel good, the more we don't want to do, we know that every single person listening right now that is ill health doesn't like it and they want to do better. They want to do better. You mentioned earlier when we came on, you know, about how you're not there yet, but you're going. You made changes. Changes need to happen. Otherwise, we will stay the same. And where we are right now is not a good place. We are an unhealthy nation, an unhealthy world, and predictably getting much, much worse over time. And this is where moments like this can be life and destiny altering for people that are listening, if they just get those truth and understand how to get out of it.
So one of the next things I was wanting to ask you, but you kind of answered it for me without answering it. And basically the question was, how does a person gain control over their habits and eating and exercise and stuff like that? Because personally, you know, I yo-yo a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you just said was that we need to invite God into the process. And I'm sure someone has told me that before, but you know, I invite him into so many other areas of my life, but I haven't really thought about inviting him into the process of my health in the terms of working out, or into the process of how I eat to help me gain understanding and knowledge, simplify things. I have not invited him into the process. So right now, one of the things that I'm going to do is say, God, I want to invite you into this process in my own life to help me gain control over my own habits
and exercising and just to grow. So there, I said that, but now you say what you were going to say, because I heard you get ready to say something.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, I believe God made human beings. I believe that. Some people may not, but I think it takes more faith to believe that two rocks collided together and created an amoeba. The amoeba somehow got out of the water and swam right up with fins and walked on the beach one day with feet, and then eventually grew four legs and climbed a tree. And then in the tree, they grew hair all over them. And then one day decided to shave their back and get a lunch pail and walk to work. That takes a lot of faith. I have a faith in God just made us the way we are. And if we believe that, in your case, and in my case, and in everybody listening, we have to believe that this thing we're walking around in is the temple of God. He made it with his hands. And this is how it's easy. It's easy for me, and it's easy for me to tell people truth that will set them free from bondage. And so when I understand the temple and understand in, for those people that know the Bible, there's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that talks about the body being the temple of God, and you were bought with a price, therefore it's not your own, honor God with your body. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we know that the body is a temple of God, and anybody that destroys the temple of God, God will destroy them. So this gives us a real concept that if we don't own this temple and it's on loan for us, and God lives in us, then it's his responsibility to care for his property. So with that said, it's easy for me to say, well, okay, if that's true, then I have everything in me that Jesus had in him. And therefore, I can walk as he walked, talk as he talked, and do what he did. I have that power within me, not because I'm good, but because I'm willing, just like you are made willing right now by that. And when I ask God to help me, this vehicle, this thing we walk around in, Evan, is a business card. It's a representation of a kingdom that's not of this world. I tell people, man, I'm not from here. You know, where are you from? I'm not from here. I'm from a kingdom not of this world. When I get done, I'm going to go back to where I came from. And I'm here to encourage people and love them and teach them, because I want them to know God like I know God. And I don't claim to be anybody special, because God doesn't love me more or less than anybody else. I'm his favorite. You're his favorite. Everybody that's listening is favorite. If we just would trust him with the concept of health, we would begin to experience health, because it's God's will, as in 3 John 2, beloved, it's my desire that you prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's God's will that we be healthy. But to show you how we've messed up, you know, people understand this concept of cheat meal. Right? You're doing a cheat meal. Okay. So why would we want a cheat meal? Why would we want to do that? We're the only country in the world that celebrates something negative as a positive. Cheating is not okay.
Right.
It's not. Is it okay to cheat on your wife if you've had a good week? Or is it okay to cheat on your job? I mean, it doesn't fit with reality. So I just want people to understand that, you know, even when you think you don't have control, stop. Proclaim out of your mouth, God, I'm grateful that I find lifestyle easy and I have no addictions. And I'm grateful that making the right choices are easy, because you tell me what to do and I hear clearly your voice. You know, if we begin to speak things out in a positive way, as opposed to say, I'm so addicted to stuff, I keep losing the weight, but I keep gaining it back. You know, we create environmental changes externally and also internally with our body. And that's the most powerful thing about the spoken word. And I think what you did a moment ago is you're going to see reality and fruits of that starting now, because you did that publicly, and everybody that's listening is going to hold you accountable now because they heard you say it.
Right. Last year I lost, I think, like 40 pounds, and then I gained like 30 of it back. Mm-hmm. And I got so close to my goal weight mark. I was 6 pounds away from breaking 200. And I just gave into soda again. Mm-hmm. And I gave into eating out again.
Yeah.
And just shot back up. You know, I shot, look, I took what was easy.
Well, look, you know, the things you talk about eating right there, it's important to understand our genes have changed 2% in 10,000 years. these things that we call food these days have never been food. Never, never, never. They're just counterfeit. And they're created by our enemy to get us off course. You know, when we have this idea of comfort food, what do we go to? Sugars, grains and breads, sodas. It's the same thing. It's not food. And so the temptation is real, but the overcoming is more real. And I hope people get that, because honestly, Evan, if we would just stop and focus the goal instead of on a, using your example, instead of on an achievement of weight, let's focus the goal on changing habits every day that become consistent, personal, and predictable. And when you get consistent, personal, and predictable habits that are just little baby habits, that's the key for success, not just in this area, but in every area of life. You will travel further and longer by just consistent, small, baby, predictable steps than any giant leaps you ever took. So it is literally one meal, one thought, one word, one task, one day, one hug, one kiss at a time. And that's how we change our lives. And it doesn't take 21 days. This is a lifestyle thing. This is a life journey, man. And we don't reach our goal until we change addresses permanently. So, you know, it's like, man, I mean, I don't even think that we think about it enough, like, you know, what our purpose is on this earth. And it's to really bring about the representation of Christ in our physical walk, really, and represent him and just do love and do it well.
Yeah. So you said something that really piqued my interest here. You said, you know, what we're eating now, we're calling food, but it was never food.
Right.
And so I wrote down, you know, a lot of what's out there is counterfeit. And then when I start thinking about counterfeit, one, money, but then two, you know, Satan can't create anything, but he can counterfeit things. Mm-hmm. And so when I think of food, like, I've never thought about this in this terms before. You know, there's spiritual counterfeits. There's spiritual counterfeit of love that is called sexual addiction and pornography. Yeah. And so there's so many other counterfeit pleasures, and food obviously is an appetite and a pleasure, but there's also a lot of counterfeit in it that isn't redeeming, that isn't nurturing. It's not giving life, but it's bringing death. Mm. And I've known there's good food, there's bad food, there's good food, there's bad food, but even that is a lie. There's just good food. And the bad food is not even food. It's a counterfeit. And it literally is changing the way I'm thinking about things. And then the other thing too, recently, and you're talking about habits, discipline, changing things. You know, I would work out once or twice a week and had to work out for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then someone's like, well, what if you worked out less per day, but you just did it more consistently? And I was like, oh, I should do that, because I can't sustain an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. So today I just like, you know what? I'm going to run to the gym. And I think I worked out for like 25 minutes. And I was shaking after that because I was lifting hard. And so I was like, yeah, I should do this less, more often. But so that's something that I'm learning, Mark. Mm-hmm. And then something else is, how can I put this? Going back to the habits, you know, we have these triggers and these, I don't want to say disciplines, but habits. So like, for example, one of the things that my wife and I like to do in the evening to relax after putting three crazy boys to bed, we like to sit down and watch TV. That's one way we unwind together. But a byproduct of that is also munching. And so if we still want to sit down and unwind watching TV, what can we replace the munching with? You know, so long story short, what I'm saying is I've been looking at my fitness journey for so long as just diet and exercise and going to the gym consistently. But in reality, it's okay, what are my habits? What are my triggers? And what are these things that I need to change?
Yeah. Yeah, that's super important, because there's a real key that you touched on, and I want to make sure that people really caught what you said. You and I, all of us speaking here, are made from God's hand. And so there's a special purpose for each of us. The only way that purpose will be taken away is if our enemy steals who we are. In other words, takes our identity. And the greatest way he can take your identity is to get you believing you're something else instead of understanding who you are. And he does that through the greatest triggers of all. And I call them the frauds, FRAUDS. And it's an acronym. And here's what they stand for: fear, resentment, anger, unforgiveness, disappointment, and shame. Now, these things are major triggers in our lives, and they take away our identity because we begin to live in those things. And again, as you mentioned correctly, Satan can't create. He can only distort, confuse, and counterfeit. And so it's interesting how that he uses this idea of this fake food, unfood, Franken food, anti-food, whatever you want to call it. It is not food. And he takes them and he creates this idea of comfort food, right? And it does give you comfort for about that long, but eventually it's a substitute comforter. And the greatest comforter that I have in my life is God himself. If I just trust him, man, it's all good. And I think that, you know, as we go forward, we need to understand the relationship between physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. And we're all one. We see this all the time, Evan. The majority of physical manifestations of disease that we see in the clinic every day are rooted in actual spiritual and emotional brokenness. Mm. And if we can get that healed, it's just so freeing for people. And we see people get off medications. We see people get rid of disease. We see these diseases that they say can't be reversed, like heart disease and autoimmune conditions and type 2 diabetes. I see those reversed all the time, and it's become so normal. I don't even think about it, man. It's like, this is the way it's supposed to be. And Jesus didn't manage disease. He healed disease. Nobody out there is born with a medication deficiency. And a pill for an ill is not God's will. And it's like, we need to understand that there is so much to our lives. And, you know, what's happening to you right now as you're pondering this, I'm telling you, man, from this moment forward, you'll have a different perspective. Things will become much easier for you. And you won't struggle with these things that you struggled with in the past. You watch. And I can't wait to hear about that.
I am literally just taking this in. Mm-hmm. By the way, Franken food was amazing.
Yeah, it's not real, and it never was real. It's just always the close thing. It's like, you know, even in the garden, you go back to that classic story, you know, God gave them all that stuff, abundance, and said, just don't do that one dumb thing. That ain't right. But isn't that one dumb thing what Satan wants us to focus on, that one thing? We focus on these things that we shouldn't do instead of focusing on all the things that we can do. You and I and all of us can literally be a conduit of hope for people across this world. Who didn't want to do that? Yeah. Man, I like to say, let's get on the hope dealer train, man. I'm a hope dealer. Let's do it, right?
Yeah, 100%. All right, so I want to try something. And you can say, yeah, no, that's not a part of my gifting or whatever. No, it's good. But you said something that really struck me, which was a lot of sicknesses and disease are caused by spiritual attacks versus anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I suffered with anxiety for years. It was debilitating at times.
Yeah.
And it was a spiritual thing. I remember going to a doctor and they wanted to put me on depression medicine and everything. Yeah. And I was just like, dude, I just met you. And I just filled out a 5-thing question. Like, I'm not going on pills. Like literally I just stuck my foot in the ground. I was like, I'm not doing this. Because I'm not depressed. And they're like, well, depression isn't sad. Depression can be anxiety and fidgety and this and that. And I'm just like, look, I agree that I'm struggling with anxiety. Let me phrase this. I was struggling with anxiety because I'm not, I don't anymore. Very good. and nor am I going to claim that. And so I went and saw a counselor, and that really helped it. So like normally the guy's like, hey, it's going to take you 12 sessions. I was done in five. I was overachiever. I was like, no, I'm good. Yeah. I'm done. In terms of my journey for health and weight, I would really like to pause for a second and invite God into this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is something that I struggle with and I want healing and liberating from. Mm. And so
healing can be yours right now. I just want you to receive this, because the majority of anxiety is rooted in that concept of fear. That's where it comes from. Back to that first fraud, Evan. And we always go back to the concept of fear in the childhood. Many times in childhood, we don't have the best upbringing. We see something that affected us. We had something happen to us, a trauma drama, and we didn't see maybe God represented in our home or in our lives. It wasn't a strong father figure. It wasn't a strong relationship. So we had no reference point. So we were always, get this, afraid that something was going to happen. And many people end up in broken homes, relationship. Children are afraid of losing security, afraid of losing something that's solid and dependable and always there. So over the course of time, we get anxiety when unknowns come upon us and unknowns begin to sort of overtake this what if, it's a what if wheel that goes nowhere. And it's based in fear instead of based in faith. Instead of becoming faithful, we become faithless. Instead of becoming fearless, we become fearful. And so these things, the antithesis of each other, is pulling at each other. And many times that affects us in the area of health, because when we've had a history of losing control or not having control, there's one thing, and I want you to hear this, that we do have control over, that no one's ever going to take away from Evan. It's what you put in your mouth. It's my chips. It's my cookies. It's my sodas. Nobody's going to tell me to take that from me, because everything else in my world has lost control and I can't depend on it. But that's one thing that you're not going to take from me. So it's really a concept of fear and then control. And this is where we have to let go of the fear completely. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And we have to understand that letting go of control and giving authority, as you just did, to God himself, that's the key to getting free. Because anxiety, fear, and control are our own self-imprisonment. And it's a comfort zone, a comfort place we can get in there. And we so fear getting out of that comfort zone because we don't know if we can maintain the freedom. But if we turn over control, get out of prison, and begin to live in freedom, we're going to experience something that we haven't felt. And you're getting that right now, Evan. And it's going to be something that you're not going to struggle with weight anymore. Anxiety is history. And now that you kind of understand how this stuff occurs, you know, I encourage you to, you know, if there's people in your life or situation that you got to go back and say, God, maybe I'm holding resentment there. Maybe I've got some anger. Maybe I've got some unforgiveness or disappointment. Maybe I got shame about self. I got to get that out of my life, because those are like chains and balls that will hold you back. Your past always stops you from getting to your future. And really, this is something we got to clip away that past and use as a reference point, a learning point, and then go forward with confidence into the best days of our lives that start right now.
So
that's a lot, I know.
Yeah. For those of you listening, I'm just pausing, soaking. Hope you're doing the same. Feel free to ask me questions to draw anything out.
Evan, what was the uncertainty in your childhood, if any, that prompted anxiety?
For me, it was the feeling of never being good enough, never being able to do anything right or be a high producer. And if there's an area that causes me anxiety today, that would be it also.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have half brother, half sister, but wasn't really, never really close to them. I'm closer.
So broken home, broken home situation. And
so my parents have been married. So, so it was my dad's second marriage, my mom's second marriage. And so I grew up with two parents, but still my siblings did.
Where did you come up with the idea, and what occurrence happened with somebody that said something to you or inferred something to you that you couldn't keep up? Or what did you see that said, I'm not keeping up with so-and-so or keeping up with that standard?
Yeah, I think a few things. One, I had learning disabilities growing up, and I had them, but we didn't know what they were until sixth grade. Like in sixth grade, I started to learn how to read. I didn't have dyslexia, but my eyes couldn't focus in the same spot together. So one would be like way over here on the other side of the page. And it was just weird. But when I'd look at you, I wasn't cross-eyed. It was only when I would go to read. And so I would never see the same thing. And because of that, it made it hard to learn. So not feeling adequate in school.
Yeah.
I've always been a strong Christian, even from a very young age. And so that just made me different. Like I stood out as someone who behaved better, who had more favor, who didn't do the wrong thing. And I stuck out like a sore thumb in school because I wouldn't go down the road that a lot of my classmates would. And I mean, I remember that starting in kindergarten. And so I always felt different there. And then lastly, you know, and I don't want to, cause I have a really good father. They live a few doors down. And some of this is probably from the way he was raised. Like for him, in doing stuff, and even to this day, like it's never right unless if he does it himself, regardless of who does it. And so I grew up with a lot of that, and a lot of push to grow up, you know? And so I just felt like I was never enough. And that stemmed from my father a little bit as well.
Well, that's what I was perceiving in the concept, because, you know, you mentioned something very profound, and this is important to being able to move forward from this point, is really understanding your father was coming from a point of brokenness himself, and that's all he knew. So that makes you have the ability to separate the person from the things that hurt you. And so with that said, it is time to draw that clear separation, and I know you're doing that right now. Because when you don't feel adequate, you feel like you don't have control. You never can measure up. So there's this idea as it relates to body composition. I want you to see this, and I want you to get the parallel here. You don't think you can maintain that under 200 pounds. You don't think you can stay there because you've always felt inadequate. You heard that voice saying, I wish you could do better. I wish you could do this. I wish you could be like so-and-so. I wish you could form like so-and-so. And you saw other people do that as a child. You didn't start struggling with weight, and you don't think you can be there. Now, isn't that part of the concept that you can stay? And I'm telling you, man, without question, you are destined to get right back to where you are. You've always been designed to be there. And because you just heard those words, accept those things and get there, because you're supposed to be there. The person you are and the struggling person is not who you are. That's a fraud. That's fraud based in fear. Stop. Let it go. Let those people go and move forward into your really your destiny.
Okay, so this is something that guilt, shame, that I've been struggling with, okay? I want to be a very high producer. Today, I look at all the stuff I did, and I was like, wow, I did great, but my morning sucked. Like my mid-morning and the rest of the day, you know, I did far more than what I normally do. And for whatever reason, like I have this in me where I want to be a person who wakes up at 4 a.m., goes to the gym, comes back, prays, reads, work, gets work going, take my kids, and then just start super early. Like I want that. Dude, so last night I set 10 alarms 2 minutes apart from each other. And I turned off every single one of them as they went off this morning from 3:55, 3:57, 4, 4:02, 4:04, 4:06. Like, I turned every single one of them off as they went off. And I did that many so I'd annoy myself and just get up. But even then, I was just like, okay, this won't go on too much longer, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. And so when I don't start that way, I already start feeling guilty or somewhat shameful. And so then in general, though, when I work out, it'll be around 8:39, and then I won't get back till, you know, 9:30, 10:30, depending on when I go. And then there's half my morning just, you know, me spending personal time and not working. And that really, it makes me feel guilty.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. Keep setting your alarm every day. You know, it's laughing because you know what time I got up this morning?
4.
That's right. And I did. And I learned to do that even if I didn't want to. And so you can't live in shame. You can't do that. You have to move forward. You can't regress back to say, well, I pushed the alarm yesterday off the snooze 10 times or 12 times. You know, you set the alarm every single day. That's a habit. I commend you. You did a good job setting the alarm. That's one habit that you can maintain consistency with. So when you get up in the morning, you got my cell phone. I want you to tell me, I'm serious about this. You're going to text me in the morning because I'm going to be up and I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Unfortunately, again, I normally get up at 4:45, but I'm starting a little early. So you're going to text me in the morning. You're going to say, I'm up. If not, I'm going to text you and you're going to say, get up. Because the first thing to do when you're starting to have it,
because I won't respond to the text, I'll be sleeping.
You have to. Okay. Call. I'm going to call then. I'm going to say, get your,
right,
you know what, up. But it's important because you did something good. And I've said that 3 times and I want you to hear it a third time because it's going to stick. You set the alarm. You can set that calendar on that alarm, that phone, over and over again. You can make it a recurring schedule. So do that. Don't change it. And you start there until it works. You do these little habits until they work, until they stick. The next thing you know, you're going to be up. The next thing you're going to know, be exercising. The next thing you know, you're going to be more productive. You're going to be tired in the evening. You're going to go to sleep early. And it's going to be a different way to sort of set your circadian rhythm. So it's going to be great.
I like that. And what's funny is because there was a period of like 6 years where I set the alarm every morning early and I just never got, and I really ticked off my wife for those 6 years. And then I started actually achieving it occasionally. And, but it's funny because when we had our third baby, I was just like, oh, I ain't setting the alarm, but I want to. And
yeah. Well, if you can, you should. And if you feel like that's what you're supposed to do, you should. Because I mean, I've talked to a lot of young parents and Evan, that's the time that you can really get all that stuff done when it's quiet. Because things get chaotic with a young family. And, you know, that's where it is and it's okay. And I think, and I would submit to you this, that by doing that, you'll become a stronger leader. You'll become a better giver. You'll become a better person to give more love because you feel better about self. When you feel better about self, you can love each other. The scriptures, Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself very well, how can you love your neighbor very well? And so we neglect that as yourself. So you got to do this self-love thing. And if that's the time that you can get up and get out and go to the gym and get busy and get after it, get your spiritual time done, get your whatever time, prayer time, quiet, Bible read, coffee drink, do it. And it starts now.
So one of the things that people talk about is, you know, get a trainer, nutrition coach, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've looked into some of these and it's kind of stupid because it's like right now, like after we pay our bills, I think we have like $200 left over for 2 weeks, basically. And keep in mind, we're not poor. We pay $25,000 a year in childcare right now.
Yeah.
Like, and my goal is to actually just make more so that we can transition that childcare to private school. Like, that's my goal. Mm-hmm. However, no, I don't want to say however, because that's what I want. And that's my intent. So to digress, I'm just not going to pretend. So for right now, we're spending $25,000 a year in childcare. And I think the thing that a lot of people struggle with, and even myself, is there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
Like when I go to the gym, I wing it every time. Like I'll go do some barbells, lat pulls, biceps, chest, this, like there's not a structured workout. And I'm realizing like winging it just doesn't work. No. It's good for my heart because I'm getting my heart pumping and stuff like that. And I'm trying to find free and easy things to educate myself with. But it's just like everywhere I go, people are wanting money for it. So Do you know how people in similar situations, like with all the information out there, what's the best way to go about it with zero to no budget to get the information?
I think the first thing you can do is understand that you can't exercise away a bad diet. Okay, that's number one. And to get that, and the second point is to understand it doesn't take very long, nor should it need to be scheduled very long. You mentioned something that recently you exercised half an hour, 20 minutes, and felt good about it. So we need to start slow and go low. Set your goals in a place that are reachable. Make them failure proof. That's a big deal. So if you're not exercising right now, try to go 2 days a week, period. Weight training should be done with clear understanding of how the mechanism of the muscles are supposed to work and how to properly do the movement without getting injured, because you can. When I tell people to start, I tell them to start on machines. And most of the time when you go to the gym, there's going to be a line or two of machines. There'll be some free weights. Here's what you do. You go to the desk and you say, hey, I need some instruction on this machine over here, right? Do that. And they'll send somebody over to instruct you how to use that machine. And it's not going to cost you anything. You know why? Because you didn't hire them. You asked them to teach you, not how to create liability for themselves. I hope you heard that. So they're going to show you how to use that machine properly. They're not going to spend time with you, but they're going to show you how to use that machine. The fourth issue is, you know, you kind of want to get online and try to look under bodybuilding or workout programs and find something of a structured 2 to 3 day workout that you can do. And there's a ton of them out there. You can go to bodybuilding.com for a ton of resources. You know, I have no affiliation with them, but I've seen a lot of people there because they got a ton of resources. Some of it's junk, some of it's not, but there's that little baby stuff about how to work out. And obviously if you can do a personal trainer, maybe 3 sessions, just tell them, I want 3 sessions. I want you to show me a workout and how to do a structured workout workout routine. They'll do that. And so you can get that done as well. So there's a lot of ways you can do it on little to no budget. And then once you get a routine down, it's really about understanding that you want to be getting stronger. So you want to vary the rest periods between sets, the repetition ranges, and even the repetition, the weight. So as long as you're varying those things, you can't go wrong. And then over time, the more you're around people in the gym that are there, for example, ask some questions. People are always willing to help. That's the nature of people. Remember, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, sometimes you're the neighbor, sometimes you're the self. And so take both sides of the coin and enjoy it.
Right. That's awesome. I like to end each show with the same 3 questions. So in terms of negative self-talk, what do you currently struggle with?
You know, probably as a young man like yourself, I was an only child, adopted. I always had a high standard, and I probably struggle the most. And I'm not speaking this on self. I'm just being very transparent with you, with the idea of approval. I want to do a good job. I mean, even this podcast, I promise you, I will question myself ad nauseum. Did I do a good job? Did I do a good job? Did I do a good job? God, did I do a good job? So I'm always looking for approval. That's probably the area that I struggle with the most.
What is the best decision you've ever made? Can't be God, Jesus, or your wife.
It was the decision to walk into my calling and accept it. All of us have a gifting and a mission, man. And it took me a long time. I get, you know, kind of emotional. But the idea is, when you walk into what you're supposed to do and you know it, there is nothing more sure than that, even if it doesn't make sense. You know, I went from being a police officer to a naturopathic doctor. How the heck do you do that, right? And it's a mission that I'm supposed to do. And so the greatest decision I made is deciding to walk in and do what I'm supposed to do. And that's helped me in all aspects of life.
Now you can answer this next question any way you want. Mm-hmm. What brings you peace? Yeah.
You know, honestly, it is knowing that when I finish my work on earth, I've got a home in heaven. It is knowing that I've got a best friend and my wife who's really puts up with me. She tolerates my passion. She's my balancing point. And, you know, those things are peaceful. They really are. They're comfort. Life is hard. It's really hard. And if you don't have a couple of anchor points to hang on to, you can get tossed around like anything. And so, you know, God's my first anchor point. My wife's my second anchor point. And if I keep anchored in those two things, I'll be all right. That gives me great peace and confidence.
That's awesome. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can go to our website at sherwood.tv. We are easy to reach there. There's all kinds of programs, books, you know, videos, blogs. I mean, there's all kinds of media stuff there. So sherwood.tv is the place to go.
Awesome. Dr. Mark, thank you so much for coming on our show today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Evan. It was an honor. It really was. And I'll be talking to you in the morning.
For sure. Take care.
All right. See you later, man.